What the Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health with me, George Bertineau. Today, I am officially no longer standing in for Gabby Allen, so I firstly want to thank her for being such an incredible host before, and it's now time for me to become the hostess with the mostest. If you didn't know about me, I'm an online coach helping everyday people make everyday better decisions. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation, and I've worked in professional football for over 5 years. I've also been a health and fitness expert for over a decade, and I'm here to talk to you about the world of health and fitness, supporting you whilst you navigate through a minefield of information on the internet and a world full of rubbish and deception. Each week, I'll be joined by a range of guests to dissect the latest fitness trends, separating facts from myths, and advising you on achieving your health goals the correct and healthiest way possible. Today, I'm going to be joined by Taylor Moore, who is a professional footballer for Bristol Rovers, and Nishtha Patel, who is a nutritionist and gut expert. This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Burton. I'm now joined by Taylor Moore, professional footballer for Bristol Rovers. Taylor, hello. Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. So we're going to start with some quick fire questions, okay? Just to get to know a little bit about yourself. So firstly, describe yourself in 3 words for me.
Ooh. Are you talking personally or professionally?
Yeah, whichever one you want.
I'm going to say spontaneous, first one.
Okay.
I'm going to say affectionate as a second one. And I'm going to say caring as a third.
Okay, I can vouch for all of those as well. Upper body or lower body?
Upper body.
Okay, why? Do you not like leg day?
I suppose with football, we're already active enough downstairs. So, upper body, just maintain, you know, get ready for summer.
Gotcha. Workout in the morning or the evenings?
Evenings.
Okay. What's your go-to cheat meal or your death row meal?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm a sucker for Italian, so I'm going to have to say pizza. Anything.
Okay.
Yeah, very pizza.
Does pineapple go on pizza?
For me, it does. Yeah.
Okay, won't ask why. Dream workout partner?
You're definitely up there. You're definitely up there. Yeah. I'd probably say I'd actually love to maybe get involved a little bit more with maybe a running coach. Yeah, someone who could maybe take my fitness and my running to a next level.
Okay, so maybe like, I'm not sure. Let's just say Usain Bolt's running coach then. Maybe
there we go. Someone like that. I've actually messaged one of my good friends in France. Okay. He has just beat the European record for 5K.
Oh, wow.
So he's managed to do that in 12 minutes, 13 seconds, something like that.
That's
so bearing in mind, like, I can run. I am.
You're fit. Fast. Yeah, you're fit.
I'm doing a 5K full pelt, maybe in like 17 and a half, 17:50. He's done that in 12. That's like 5 minutes less. Like, that's baffling. So, yeah, I'm going to say a running coach.
Okay. Last two questions before we get on to you and your journey. Scoring the winning goal in a cup final or a goal line clearance, meaning that you win the cup final?
Oh, it has to be scoring a winning goal. I don't think you can beat the feeling of scoring. As much as the defender in me wants to maybe consider both options, I'm going to say scoring. Okay. When you're a little kid, you only dream of scoring. You don't dream of goal line clearance.
Well, you never know. And last one, match day anthem.
I'm not superstitious whatsoever, whether it comes to food, music, but I just enjoy my house music before getting going.
Okay. Lovely stuff. Thank you for that. Right. So tell us about your footballing journey from youth.
So I was born in London into a football mad family. So I honestly started kicking a ball from as young as I can remember in the garden with my dad. And I actually, as a 6-7-year-old, started going over to West Ham's academy because it was local to me in London. And yeah, just started having a few trials, let's say. But weirdly enough, at the same time, My parents made the drastic decision to move to France. So as a seven-year-old, I moved out there very young. Little English boy who didn't know anything other than London, all of a sudden found myself in a French school, French football team. And a drastic change in our lives. So went out there and I ended up playing for RC Lens, which is a French first division club. I played for their youth teams from the age of 12 up until making my debut at 17. Had an amazing few years there, obviously coming through at youth level, where I was also lucky enough to play for England under 17s, 18s, 19s, 20s. Unfortunately, that was it. That was the end of my England journey. Grew up having the best of both worlds, living in a different country with a different culture, but also seeing the academy set up and the emphasis that the French, even scholar system, has towards sports. You know yourself, having spent a lot of time out there. The French schools are mad about sport. They give you the day off on a Wednesday to break up the week, but you have to prove to them that you're signed up for some sporting team. For me that was easy because I was playing football and the second I left the classroom. A fantastic experience growing up and doing all my youth football out there, and thankfully made it into the first team as well.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Okay, so you obviously said that you started from a young age. You said 6 or 7, right?
Yes.
But when did you first decide you wanted to be a professional footballer? Did you just start kicking a ball and go, I want to be pro? Or did you realize you were good at it and then go, actually, I want to give this a shot?
I think every footballer will probably tell you that when they're a kid, you support a football team and all of a sudden you go to watch one of the games and your ultimate dream is like, oh my God, one day, I want to be in that position. I want to be that person who scores the goal or makes a goal line clearance. But I think, I genuinely think for me, the proper realization was when I was about 15, 14, 15, because you enter an academy setup where, unfortunately, maybe out of 100% of the boys that go there, maybe 5 or 6% might make it pro, if that.
Maybe even less, right?
Maybe even less, yes. So obviously every A-year group, every age group, maybe one of you, maybe two, maybe three. And I think that was the realization when I was about 15 years old, and you obviously see boys that have been playing football their whole lives get to the age of 15 and all of a sudden they're being told, listen, like, you're not good enough. Thanks for all your efforts, but
see you later.
Yeah, see you later. And I think that was the realization where some of my best friends, some of the lads that I've been playing with for years, are being told, like, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
But I was being told the opposite. I was being told, like, oh, we want to tie you down to a contract. We want to tie you down to a few more years at the club. We're really happy with you. And I think that's where you start to have that little bit of belief and that fire in your belly to be like, okay, well, I'm going to be one of the select few and I'm going to make sure that I am.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that leads me on to my next question, which is, what's the best player that you've ever played against, or who is the best player that you've ever played against and played with? So you've done the under-20s England, is there anyone that stands out from there? I know who the best player is you've played against, but that's for you.
I've been lucky enough to play in some big games, and obviously growing up in France, playing against some of the big top French teams as well, like PSG, Monaco. So very lucky as well with England. I played against some fantastic nations with some really good young players. But best player I've played against, I'm going to say, is Mbappe.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it is pretty cool. He was very young. He was very quick. I even tore my hamstring trying to chase him. not a proud story, but what a fantastic player. And the other one that actually does spring to mind is Renato Sanchez, who Portuguese boy who ended up playing for Bayern Munich, playing yeah. for Benfica, had a, well, still is currently having a fantastic career. I remember at the age of 17, just playing against this boy and thinking like, wow, like you are yeah. a different level to everyone else. And luckily enough, with the England setup, played with some of probably the best players in the country. But our age group was fantastic. We had some boys that have gone on to play for England, some boys that have gone on to play in the Premier League, such as Dominic Solanke, who's currently at Tottenham Hotspur. What a fantastic player. Tammy Abraham, who's at AC Milan. Yeah, too many to name, but yeah, they're just the select few.
Yeah, of course, some big names, and again, like you said, just you can kind of tell from a young age how talented these boys really are, can't you?
Definitely.
So you're currently at Bristol Rovers, okay? Yes. How would you feel the season's been going so far?
Frustratingly bad. We've had a change in manager during the season, which is obviously never good. Just goes to show that results weren't going our way. We've just been underachieving massively this season, and with only 8 games to go, we're just above the relegation zone. So it's crunch time, as they say. Mm-hmm. But I'm experienced enough now at 27 to kind of know what my role is and how to act, how to kind of stay composed and continue with my job on a daily basis, even though there is that stressful question mark of relegation. So frustratingly bad, but it's not over yet.
No, it's not, exactly. And I want to move on to something which I know is close to your heart. So you've launched a mental health walk, correct?
Yes.
And it's called 5K Your Way.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So due to personal experience and family experience, unfortunately, like throughout the years of my young career, I'd say I've had ups and downs with my own mental health as well, where when things are going really good, that's fantastic, but when things are going really bad as well, it's hard to, as a young man, navigate those moments. I've definitely had my own struggles, but I'd say that I'm a better person for it now at 27. And unfortunately, last summer, my mum, after a long battle with mental health, actually decided to take action and attempted to take her life. Thankfully, she's a lot more stable now. Mm-hmm. We were able to support her throughout those difficult months, but it was just a build up of maybe depression and anxiety that had been lingering for about maybe 9 or 10 years. And as much as we tried as a family, it's very, very difficult to get someone out of the hole, as much as you try. And it has a serious effect on not only the person that's suffering from mental health, but also the family and friends around. Due to that personal experiences, when I joined Bristol Rovers, I made sure that not only was I going to try and be the best version of myself on the pitch, but I was also going to try and, not change people's lives, but having a positive effect on people's lives off the pitch as well.
But it does.
Like, yeah.
What you're doing is changing people's lives. Like, you've got to be, real about the choice of words. You are changing people's lives because that walk and just that moment with someone else and having that ability to talk freely, with someone that maybe you don't know, where you're not going to be judged, can be a really pivotal changing moment.
For sure. I think the initial plan was to just do something we said 5K Your Way, where it gives people a safe space to come down, where there will be a group of like-minded people, a group of specialist people as well, people that work in the community and have these type of conversations on a daily basis, where we were encouraging people not only to come down and walk and move and have that physical well-being, but also we're encouraging people to come down and talk and actually have serious conversations, not chats, conversations about their mental health, about their well-being, and honestly, the feedback that we had from that first event was fantastic. We had about 45 people come down, which was amazing, way more than I probably expected for our first launch. Mm-hmm. And then we were able to back it up with a second event a couple of months later. And just
you've
before,
got more coming up, right?
Sorry?
And you've got more coming up.
Yeah, correct? we've got a lot more coming up. So we backed it up with a second event that was just as successful, where we had a motivational speaker, a guest speaker come and join us as well. So not only did people come down for the walk and the talk, and they also came down and they had someone who is a world-renowned motivational speaker come down and give them, let's say, 30 minutes of insight into his life and 30 minutes worth of tools and experiences for them to take away. So that was by far my favorite one of the two. And then we've got another one coming up early April, where we will, same thing, we will run a 5K route, whether you decide to run it, jog it, walk it, you can walk it backwards for all I care, as long as you turn up.
Just be involved.
And at the end of that walk, we have a private comedy night as well, in association with the Gaff Comedy here in Bristol. They've been fantastic, and they're very keen. And like, it is mental health, and it is something that is mentioned more and more nowadays, but it is something that a lot of people are passionate about getting involved with and doing their bit for. So the feedback and the amount of positive things and positive conversations I'm having from it has been fantastic. So yeah, we've got more coming. The PFA as well, so the governing football body, Professional Footballers Association in England, they've really, really, really backed me as well with this project, and they want me to continue it over the next few years.
Great.
So that is the goal. It's not just a temporary thing. Even when I've moved on from Bristol Rovers one day, I'm hoping that it's something that they can maintain. And if not maintain here, then we can maintain it at another club. But the PFA have funded it as well. They've given me a good amount of funding to just kick on and really take this project to the next level. So yeah, I'm passionate about it.
Good. And it sounds like you are. Where can people find you, the group? Is it on socials? Do they need to get in contact with you? What do they need to do?
So people can do whatever they are comfortable with. They can get in contact with the club. They can get in contact with myself. The specific events are blasted all over the social media of the football club. So Bristol Rovers, also Bristol Rovers Community Trust. They do some fantastic work in the community. And I'm talking about football for people with disabilities. Yeah. There's also like homelessness events that the Community Trust run, and they're fantastic at such a widespread kind of group of different things that they're really sinking their teeth into and making a, like we said at the beginning of the call, a real difference in people's lives, and it's great to see.
Yeah, well, Taylor, I really appreciate your time today, and I really appreciate you talking about this. Last question, do you think people need to be more honest about talking about their mental health?
Yes, I think so. I think it's also about trust. A lot of people may be a bit too scared to come out of their shell because they don't really know what their friends are going to think, or they don't really know what their family are going to say, or their boss or their colleagues. But listen, we're all human. We all have feelings. We all have ups and downs and things going on in our lives, whether that's an issue at work, whether that's an issue with a relationship, whether it's anything that plays with your emotions, that plays on your mind. And we're all human at the end of the day, and we all put our head on the pillow at night and have 1,000 thoughts going through our minds, and some days they can be really heavy thoughts. So I'm very, very passionate in talking to my friends. I rely on my friends a lot. I rely on you a lot, because I know we're very like-minded, but we definitely have conversations in and around mental health, and I think that doesn't make you weak in any shape or form. So
no, it doesn't.
I think people should, and I think people will, because of the amount of work all over the world that is actually going in towards mental health. So it's definitely something that I'm passionate about, and yeah, people should talk.
Good. Good. Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, man. Bye-bye.
Foobar Radio.
More.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on Foobar Radio with me, George Bertineau. A massive thank you to Taylor once again for doing the interview. If you guys are interested in getting involved with Bristol Rovers' 5K Your Way and obviously Taylor Moore's, it's a great opportunity for you to just be out there, walk, vent, and just kind of be comfortable and talk about your mental health. So now we're going to be moving on to workout of the week. So today I think I would be happy discussing a lower body exercise or a lower body workout with you all. So we'd be looking at a full lower body. There's no posterior chain or front chain. So we'd be looking at a squat, a lunge, a lying leg curl, then a leg extension followed by some calves, abs, and a little bit of cardio. Cardio could be any shape or form. Now, with a squat, we can be looking at any shape or form of a squat. This could be a back squat. This could be a front squat. This could be a goblet squat. This can be a bodyweight squat. Whatever you are comfortable with, you can look at anywhere between 3 and 5 sets of anything between 5 and 10 reps. Again, the most important part, if you are lifting for hypertrophy and muscle gain or strength or just overall health, is making sure that your first rep never looks like your last rep. Secondly, we'll move on to a lunge or a split squat. So a lunge is probably the easiest way to do it. You can do this unweighted. You can do this with a bar on your back or your shoulders. You can do it holding dumbbells. You can do it holding anything on your shoulders that you're comfortable with, really. Again, walking lunges is probably preferred for most people, but if you want to do it more static and alternating, you can. Again, anywhere from, for me, this would be quite a voluminous exercise, so I would say anywhere between 3 and 4 sets of 12 plus repetitions. Next, we would be going on to a closed chain exercise. So closed chain is when we use machines, and it's a lot safer for us. So a lying leg curl. If you do not have a lying leg curl at your gym, a seated leg curl. If you do not, there are other options like a Romanian deadlift, but that is, or a hip hinge, but that's for another time. So a lying leg curl is literally exactly what it says on the tin, lying on your front and bringing the pad towards your hamstrings, which will be working on the back of your leg. And you can do anywhere between 3 and 4 sets of 6, maybe 8 to 12 repetitions. A quad extension, which is fantastic for knee health, for everyday people, anyone that struggles with any sort of leg strength. This is a super important exercise and really good for building up knee strength and your quad strength. Again, 3 sets of anywhere between 8 to 12. And calves, these are something that lots of people do not grow and struggle to grow. So I would highly suggest lots of volume with this. We would say anything from maybe 3-4 sets of 15 plus repetitions. Just make sure you are stretching the calf and then fully pointing the toes. And then abs, I mean, you don't need to train abs to get abs, but some people would like to train them. So this can be hanging knee raise, some ab crunches, some planks, some side bends, whatever you are comfortable with. Remember, it's not just about physically exerting ourselves, it's about being comfortable with what we do. And then cardio. I mean, cardio is important. If you can't get any steps or any sort of exercise in during the day, I would always say to people, walking is the best form of cardio because it's low intensity. You can add it into your day. You can, if you're in London, you can walk a tube instead of, you know, taking the tube, right? Right. So after that, that is the workout of the week. Now we're going to move on to some listener questions. So Liam asks me, what is your death row meal? Well, first of all, I actually think about this more times than I probably should. My death row meal would be sorry for any vegans or vegetarians out there, your ears are probably going to start burning. My death row meal would be a fillet steak cooked blue. Yes, that means it is still talking to me. It would be chips or sauteed potatoes with green beans and broccoli. And then I would also have
either roquefort, which is blue cheese sauce, or peppercorn sauce. So that is mine. So if you're putting a bit of a funny face, then apologies, but that's my death row meal. Top tips for staying motivated when it's cold outside. Well, first of all, Susie, great question. Fortunately for us, the weather has changed and it's getting warmer for us. But I would probably suggest multiple layers, although you are going to get pretty hot when you are exercising outside. If that's what you're doing, or if you're going for a walk, then you're going to warm up naturally anyway. I would just say more layers, a good podcast, maybe some good music, and just understanding that why you're doing it. Why are you really going out there? And why do you really want to move on with your motivation? Next question is Kyle. How important is core work? Should I be working on core every session? Now, Kyle, really good question. I actually think that core is important, but it's also not. Why do we train core? We train core for balance, for more abdominal engagement. But our body naturally engages over just when we breathe. You know, our core naturally switches on. So I would say yes, if you maybe have a life where you feel like it's important, if you feel like it would benefit you as well, sure, do it. I don't train core. When I had a six pack, I never trained abs. And you don't need to train core and abs to maybe get that physique, but if you like to and you want to, there is no reason why you shouldn't. So from a medical point of view, yes. From a aesthetics point of view, it doesn't really matter. What is the best cure for sore muscles? Now, everyone's going to absolutely love hearing this one. Massages are actually clinically proven to be one of the best things to do. You can also hug a loved one, which will help with recovery. Sounds crazy, but a 30-minute hug is scientifically proven to also aid recovery, which is going to help with sore muscles. So if that means you hug a loved one for 30 minutes or you have a 30-minute massage, basically both pretty good tools for you to use. You've also got compression garments. So compression garments are, again, scientifically backed, and we like a bit of science around here. That is going to help you with maybe 20% recovery and help you with sore muscles. Massage guns, also pretty great, and they're super in at the moment. You know, you can buy them fairly cheap and you can use them. They're great, but again, for me, my top three would be a massage, compression garments, and hugging a loved one, because who doesn't love a cuddle? Right, guys, so coming up after this break, I'm going to be joined by Nishtha Patel, who is a nutritionist and a gut expert.
FUPAR Radio. Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Georges Bertineau.
This is What the Health on FUPAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Joining me now is Nishtha Patel, nutritionist and gut expert. Nishtha, hello, welcome, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much for asking. Did I pronounce your name correctly, first of all?
You did.
Perfect, wonderful. Right, so first of all, thank you so much for joining us. So, nutritionist and gut expert. How did you first get into nutrition therapy?
Okay. So, in 2010, my daughter suddenly got sick. We were on holiday, and it was my brother-in-law's 50th. We were in Alaska on this cruise, and she said, "Mum, I'm bleeding." And I said, "Where from?" And she said, "You know, bleeding from here, sort of from the back passage." And I said, "Oh my God." She was 14 years old, mm-hmm. and you know, alarm bells start to ring. And we got back to London, and it was getting worse and worse and worse. And she was going many times a day. And they investigated and found out that she had something called proctitis, which I never heard of, you know. And then that became colitis or / Crohn's. They were not sure what was going on, but she was medicated like you would not believe, chemotherapy drugs, steroids, medicines to counteract the side effects of the medicines. And I kept saying to the doctors, is there something in the diet? Is there something in the environment? Is there something? How does this happen just like this? You know, you've got a healthy, beautiful 14-year-old child who within 2 years of all that medication looked like a little old lady with bone pain and steroid face and acne. And they said to me, no, it diet's got nothing to do with it. Let her eat and drink what she wants. This is a chronic disease. It's going to be there for life. We just have to manage it with medication. And when she was just not getting better, I decided to start researching. And I started researching. I came across a book, followed it. 9 months later, we did a colonoscopy. The colonoscopy was completely clear.
Wow, amazing. And
he said to me, congratulations, Mrs. Patel, the medicine's finally working. But I hadn't given her any in 9 months. And I had weaned her off everything. I'm not saying anybody should do that. It is a chronic condition, and you do need to know and work with someone. That was just something I'd done out of desperation at the time. But then I went on to study clinical nutrition at the London College of Naturopathic Medicine, and then America to study functional medicines, where I can now help lots and lots of people with this condition and any gut-related or other things, because it's systemic, right? Everything more or less begins in the gut.
Yes, I mean, fascinating stuff and amazing. I mean, obviously, I guess, like you said, time of need, and you needed to batten down the hatches and kind of focus on something to help your daughter, which is, you know, been amazing. And you can see that you're being very successful from that as well. Why is gut health so important? Obviously, you've mentioned why at the start with your daughter, but why would you say for others, you know, is there other things that people need to be cautious of?
Absolutely. Like 70 to 80% of our immune system is, you know, it's in our gut. Our neurotransmitters for our brain is in our gut. We have so many connections. You've got a gut-brain connection, a gut-skin connection, a gut-immune connection. So if your gut's not working, you're not going to be able to think right. Your skin might not be right. You might have issues with normal gut things that, you know, would be associated, like bloating and things like that. But you wouldn't think of things like eczema or Alzheimer's or things like that, Parkinson's, any of those kind of things. Those are all related. You know, if you fix the gut, you can help a lot of these issues.
I mean, yeah, no, I totally agree. It's actually something that I've always, it's something I'm not well rehearsed on, but I've always been a big fan of like digestive enzymes. I don't know if that's something that you maybe recommend, because I know there's a lot of digestive enzymes in the gut anyway, but taking it as a supplement, you know, is that something you might recommend, or are you more just purely based on nutritional advice? I mean, supplements, I guess.
No, I do recommend them, but it's a case-by-case study. It's very important to look at the whole history of your patient and what they're presenting. So I would be asking you a series of questions. If you're someone that eats really fast, you're really stressed, you're bloated all the time, you're on the go and you don't sleep well, then you probably are in need of that. I would ask you to monitor what's coming out the other end.
Your bowel function.
Your bowel function. You've got something called the Bristol stool chart, where you've got different sort of, we're going to talk poo now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Different shapes,
sizes
builds,
and different shapes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the ideal size is like the ideal shape is like a hot dog or a snake, and it should be brown in color. If it's really pale, you likely to be having issues with your bile or liver. If you've got bits of food in your stool undigested, then you probably are lacking digestive
apart
enzymes.
From sweet corn.
So it's, you have to kind of figure out what's going on with the person, and the way you increase your digestive enzymes naturally is to eat mindfully, take a moment, smell your food, chew your food really, really well. Don't eat on the go. Don't drink lots and lots with your meals. Those kind of things can help you digest your food better. So you'd start with doing those things, and of course, adding in the enzymes if and when we need them.
Okay. So you say don't drink. Is that anything other than water, or you mean just don't consume water whilst you're eating?
You just take little sips of anything that you're drinking. I mean, obviously alcohol's not the best for the gut, but you can't be Puritan either. So it's an 80-20 balance. Don't drink all the time, you know, with every single meal, every single day. But if you're out for a meal or whatever, that's different. But water in general is what I'm talking about. Is, you know, a lot of people chug down a lot of water during their meals. Do little sips. Drink 45 minutes before, 45 minutes after, just to help your food go in and not be diluted. Stomach acid can get diluted if you're drinking lots and lots and lots.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. I'm just trying to process everything you're saying. Okay, fine. So how does gut health impact your mental and physical side of things?
It can. They used to think that many years ago that it was one directional, that the brain would just communicate with the gut, you know, and give it its functions. They now know that it can go the other way. It's multi-directional. It goes both ways, bi-directional. And there's a nerve in the brain that travels down called the vagus nerve. Now, when that's dysregulated, you can have all kinds of issues, anxiety, sleep disorders, sleep issues, things like that, which is all connected from the gut and the brain. So it's really, really important for you to understand that connection, making sure we've got that gut microbiome, which is which you hear a lot about, and that is all the bacteria. It's millions, thousands of years old, you know, bacteria, fungi, viruses, which should be in the gut in certain levels. Now, if they get dysbiotic, which means you've got more of one, less of the other, you've got some good ones.
An imbalance,
there's an imbalance, then that can affect everything and throw it all off. So it's really important and key to look after that gut microbiome to help with the brain and the skin and everything else.
Okay, I'm just making a little bit of a note. Okay, so following on from that, are there any habits that might be able to, or that might harm our gut health? Do you feel like we're doing anything, you know, now diets are changing, you know, maybe, you know, before there weren't as many people doing carnivore or vegan or vegetarian. Do you feel like maybe some people's diets, or do you think there are habits that can harm our gut health?
Absolutely. So we know it's all the usual suspects: smoking, to excess alcohol, excess sugar, excess ultra processed foods. I'm not saying all processed foods, because we all in this day and age use some form of processed foods, like your, you know, passata sauce for spaghetti bolognese, for example, something like that. But trying to get the ones out with lots of additives, lots of food colorings, lots of artificial sweeteners, things like that, those can harm the gut quite a lot. Habits, not sleeping enough. Sleep is really, really key. Not chewing your food, as I've said before, drinking lots with your meals, those kind of things. And then things you can do to improve it is fiber. Fiber is key. And also adding in prebiotic and probiotic rich foods. So fiber, you've got two types. You've got soluble and insoluble. Insoluble is the type you get from your salads and raw foods. And soluble is things like your oats, and psyllium husk, things like that can help. That fiber is key. It feeds gut bacteria and... The way you can do, there's a few easy hacks. So you have got, now they say 30 plant-based foods per week, but you can do a lot more than that. Now, what is a plant-based food? It's not just your fruits and your vegetables. It can include nuts, seeds, herbs, spices, and even a good quality sort of 70, 80, 90% dark chocolate. Because these things have got things in them called polyphenols and other nutrients that help feed that gut bacteria. So what you do is, if you drink herbal tea, for example, and you just drink peppermint, switch it around, because every single different one you drink feeds different microbes.
Okay.
For a peppermint, then you can go for a tulsi, then you go for a turmeric, or you go for a fennel. So that's giving you diversity. Add more herbs and spices into your cooking. Change, if you eat apples and you only go for pink ladies, I mean, we've got 7,000 different varieties of apples. Not all of them we get here, but we get an awful lot. Switch them around. So the following week, go for a Granny Smith. The following week, go for a Jazz. So okay. That's different microbes and different colors. If you're adding different colors, we say eat the rainbow. Try and eat different colors of fruits and vegetables every single day. And also don't forget your probiotics and your prebiotics. Your prebiotics are foods like apples, mm-hmm. and artichokes and leeks and onions and garlic, and they feed that probiotic bacteria. Okay. The probiotic bacteria in your gut is live bacteria, which is found in like kefir, mm-hmm. live yogurts, kimchi, sauerkraut, okay. those ones that are in the fridge, not on the shelf.
Yes. Okay. So you say, obviously you mentioned 30 plant-based foods. So these are things, basically anything that's coming from the ground, right? Anything that's coming from the ground?
Yeah, I guess. I've never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Herbs, fruits, vegetables, herbs, spices, nuts and seeds.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Are there any foods that you would recommend avoiding? Obviously, you mentioned ultra processed, and I know alcohol isn't a food, but we know that that's something that we know that that's, yeah, I know you said balance, but I'm quite a big advocate for, you know, alcohol is great in small doses. So yeah, maybe 80-20 or maybe 90-10, but you know, maybe once a month is great, you know, do your thing. But yeah, do you feel that there are any foods you would recommend avoiding for better gut health?
I'd say anything with artificial sweeteners in it.
Yeah.
I personally don't like artificial sweeteners in things. I know there's all these, I think they do affect your gut microbiome quite a bit.
Sugar-free drinks, for example, would be a bad idea. Sugar-free
drinks, all of that. Sorry. You still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Sorry, I don't know how that happened.
It's fine. Don't worry.
And yeah, sugar-free drinks and anything, you know, a lot of those energy bars and things have got a lot of sweeteners and other things in there. I always say to people, try and go for cleaner versions or make your own.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's all great advice. It really is. And it's, you know, you're looking at, you know, lots of foods that have so many items in them. And that's always a big question mark, isn't it? Yeah. Is there one surprising fact that people should know about their gut? Maybe one, maybe two. You know, have you got anything that would surprise people?
About their gut, that the transit time can vary for different people, but I don't know about surprising facts. What can I think of? You put me on the spot there now.
or maybe any sort of fact that you would maybe, you know, when you have a consultation or when you talk with someone or with a client, you know, do you have any facts that, you know, you normally share your wisdom about?
Most of them I've shared with you, like trying to do these hacks.
Yeah.
At the core of an apple, most people would throw away, right? But the core of an apple actually contains a lot more of the good bacteria
really?
Than anything else. So apart from the seeds, because they've got stuff in there that you shouldn't be eating. But the core of the apple is actually really healthy for you. And it's got more fiber in there. And also, if you're preparing things like broccoli, chop it up and leave it for 40 minutes before you cook it, because it activates compounds in it, becomes much more nutritionally beneficial for you. So
great. I love broccoli, so that's going to happen.
Chop your garlic up, crush it, time it, leave it for 10 minutes. It releases a compound called allicin, which it then helps when you heat it up too. It helps to protect it, and it's also better for your gut.
Okay, well, amazing. Well, Nishtha, thank you so much for your time. Where can we find you on social media, on LinkedIn? Do you have a website potentially?
I do. My website is thegutexpert.com.
Perfect.
And my Instagram handle is thegutexpert_. Same for Facebook, is thegutexpert. And I am running retreats in collaboration with someone else at thewellnessmamas, MOMMAS. So you can find me in all those places.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. And you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. And you take care. Bye-bye. Right, guys. Now we're going to be moving back on to a couple of listener questions. So Freddie has asked, in my weight loss journey, is it worth buying one of those scales that also measure stuff like fat density? Now, I'll be totally honest with you, Freddie. I think they're an absolute con and a load of rubbish. Now, only because I believe there's only two ways to kind of figure out fat density. One is via a bod pod, which you would find at a university. You could probably contact your local university and become a case study if you'd like. That is basically you sitting in your pants in a little egg-shaped pod with a swimming cap on. Air will blow around you for 5 seconds, and then that will measure your fat density. So in answer to your question, I don't think they're worth buying. I think you could potentially use skin calipers, find your local PT, local coach, figure out how to do it. Skin calipers are basically what we would do in the athletic world and with any sort of client. It's just something that you can pinch an inch, get a fairly accurate measurement to a certain degree, because some people have more loose skin, some people have tough skin. So yeah, I don't think they're worth buying. I think you should just measure your weight daily and take an average and then submit that as your weight. And as long as it's going down in the right direction, you're getting progress. Laurel asks, what does it mean to lock out your muscles, and why can this be dangerous? So I don't think locking out your muscles as such is dangerous. It's more your joints. I think if you're... I would always say soft knees to anyone that is doing a lower body exercise. So when I say soft knees, it's you're not locking your knees back hard, because if you have an element of laxity in the body, you're going to potentially hyperextend, or if you're hypermobile, you're going to potentially hyperextend, and that's going to cause you a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort, and potentially get you stuck in the wrong direction. So I would just say soft knees or soft elbows or any joint that you feel like you might lock out. But the most important thing for muscles in any sort of growth and strength is to work them in full range. So if your knees, if you're able to bend your knee fully and then extend it fully, that is fantastic. But make sure when you are going to extend it and you're going to lock out the joint, you have a soft joint. Melanie asks, I've started running. Do I need a recovery routine after every run? If so, what should I do? Yeah, you could actually. That's a really good question. If you aren't an athlete, you would probably need some sort of recovery, a warm bath, Epsom salts, lots of fluids, and just a big carb and high protein meal, just to kind of fill yourself up, get yourself recovered. And then again, like I said earlier with some of the listener questions, maybe a massage, maybe a nice cuddle, and maybe some compression leggings or tight clothing of some sort. So that would probably be the best recovery routine. If you went for a longer run, maybe 20 minutes on the bike and some stretching. Right, guys, I just want to say a massive thank you to Taylor and Nishra for joining us today on What the Health. Just a little reminder for you guys, you can download the app and listen each week, and you can also follow us. We are at What the Health Show on Instagram. If you want any help with your health and fitness journey or your goals, I do provide a top tier coaching service, and it is absolutely no BS. It's problem solving, and I also hold your hand every step of the way. So if this is of interest to you, please do reach out to me at George Burt on Instagram or at GB Fitness and Health. Also, you'll be able to listen back to this on all good podcasting platforms. Just a massive thank you from me, and I'll be back next week at 11 a.m. for another jam-packed show. I'm George. Thank you for listening. Have a great day, and goodbye.
FUPAR Radio.